What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Lady Lou. You already know this is Music Over Poverty Podcast. And before I get into today's topic, I want to first thank my supporters, my listeners, and I also want to give an update for the Women's Healings Brunch. It has been postponed. It has not been canceled. It has been postponed for Mother's Day. We decided to have the event on Mother's Day, which would be a more successful day, I'm guessing, you know, to get more women out, daughters out, sisters out, things like that, because March was kind of short of a date. You know, it's tax season. There's a lot going on in our city, in our world, in our country, and, you know, a lot of people are not able to make that date. So I made it for Mother's Day because I thought it would be a more suitable day to have the event to bring the women together. So the link is still provided in my Instagram page at Lady Lou 215 on Instagram. So you can always click the link to donate. You know, I'll send an address where, you know, baskets can be picked up for the woman and things of that nature. So let's get into it. And I really don't have a topic for today. I just want to talk about a few things that I want to address. And the first thing is the Jesse Smollett situation. And I'm not sure if people are familiar with him, but he's from Empire. He is the gay son of Lucius, the homosexual, you know, son of Lucius. And he lied about being attacked by two Nigerian men, which he knew. And he created this whole scenario on how he was attacked and beat. And, you know, racial slurs were involved. Homosexual slurs were involved. And me hearing the story, I'm really not sure if I believed him or not. My first initial reaction was, damn, you know, he's not only being attacked because he's gay, but he's also a black man. So those were my initial thoughts based off the person that I am, you know, and my way of thinking and my way of knowing the world. So, you know, I automatically had that reaction. But after, you know, seeing it and listening to it after a few times, I wasn't too sure if he was telling the truth. One for me was he didn't seem as distraught, traumatized, or hurt by the situation. You know, I've seen people go through things. I've been through some things, and I know what trauma can create, you know, like post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, those kind of things, you know, just turmoil all over. And he was kind of cocky with this, you know, and it was okay for him saying, you know, I fought back, you know, because you a man, and as a man, you don't want to seem that you know, were weak, you know, to the rest of the world. But it just was a level of cockiness there instead of a level of being traumatized by the situation. So it really didn't add up to me. So when it came out that the story may not have been true, I really wasn't surprised. I really, you know, just thought to myself, I was right. Or, you know, but I wanted to just talk about that because I wasn't sure what his actual agenda was to tell that lie, to create this big story. And when you think about, you know, his career and Empire and things like that, his singing career, and I'm like, this guy can sing, you know, this boy can sing. And I think that outside of Empire, he could have had a bigger platform, a bigger career. And he does, because his family, you know, his sisters and brothers are actors, well-known actors. You know, his baby sister was like one of the leading people in The Great Debaters with Denzel Washington. She was on Roll Bounce with Bow Wow. And, you know, she did a lot of different movies. You know, it's just not those two movies. But he comes from a family of actors. And, you know, even his mom just, you know, picking them up from their hometown and moving them to L.A. and investing into their careers, their acting careers, very, very young on. You know, it kind of makes you wonder why he would take these measures to get attention when he's already getting attention. So, you know, me analyzing it is just like, I don't think that he was getting the attention that he wanted. It may seem like it to us because we are on the outside looking in, but he's living that life every day. And maybe something that was in his career at this moment was not satisfying him, you know, so he needed a story or something like this to happen in order for him to get the attention that he felt as though he needed. You know, this is all, I'm guessing, in his mental, his psychology issues that he has, because I can't see how a person this successful and this depth into their career will cause such havoc for a small lie, you know. And he wasn't really smart about it. He did it with people that are recognizable, known, that has worked with him, that has worked with him on the Empire set, worked with him in the gym, personal trainer. And to me, that wasn't really a smart thing to do, especially if you guys didn't take those steps to make sure that your asses were covered. It was just a complete idiotic thing to do, knowing that everything that goes on in today's world has everything to do with cameras and the internet. So that wasn't really smart. Though I just wanted to address, you know, my thoughts on the situation, because he's obviously dealing with some inner issues, some childhood issues, where he's still screaming for that attention after having all these things that's going on, all these positive things that's going on. It's something that's in him that's not being fed. And I believe it has something to do with his childhood. I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't want to be. I just go off of human behavior and experiences and things that I see on a day-to-day basis. And in my experience of my, you know, in my own life, anytime a grown person, you know, does things like that, they're screaming out and they're crying for help in a different way. Y'all let me know what y'all think. You know, y'all have the message board here, or you can let me know what you think on my DM. You know, DM me and let me know what you think about the Jesse story. Yeah, so now that we are talking about, you know, violence and being attacked and domestic violence, you know, all these things, I want to get into the ongoing violence that's happening in Philadelphia. And I've talked about this, and I will continue to talk about this, because that is my city and it is my job to advocate and speak on these things, so we can better our communities and you know, really get into the minds of our people, because we're really lost as people, as a culture, because of a lot of reasons, and we know what those are. And mental health is one of the biggest things, and I speak about mental health in the Black community all the time. It goes unlooked, you know, and now the new mental illness is, you know, drug your kids up and collect a check. But that'd be another, you know, topic or conversation that we'll have at a later time. But I wanted to address those that are responsible for the ongoing violence in our city. And it's not just the people that are shooting the guns. It's not just the victims, because sometimes the victims are not innocent. They just became victims in that situation. I'm speaking about the mayor of the city. I'm speaking about the city council people of the city. I'm talking about the police department of Philadelphia. You know, the people that police our neighborhoods every single day, and crime still doesn't seem to get solved. Crime still doesn't seem to stop or come to some type of decreasement, or, you know, it's been a huge increase. Nothing has really slowed down. I think during the when the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year, we maybe had a gap where it was no gun violence, no one was murdered. And even, I think, around New Year's, it was a period, but it's only been a couple days to a week where there's no crime being committed. We have children and women missing in our city. We have victims that were murdered for sure missing in our city. Brothers, young brothers. We have, you know, adults missing in our city. And this is going on along with the gun violence, I don't see any one of a statue in our city doing anything about what's going on, doing anything about the crisis. They haven't shut the city down. I've reached out to the mayor several times on Twitter. I've reached his office just to see, you know, what's his actions, or what is City Hall actions, or what is taking place in order to bring some of this to, you know, to a head, you know, because it's becoming uncomfortable for the public, for the people, tax-paying people. I don't care if they're not paying as many taxes as the other people on the other side of town. You know, the people in the ghetto pay taxes as well. And our children are not safe. We are not safe. Our elderly is not safe. And it's becoming overbearing. It's becoming overwhelming. And somebody needs to start taking responsibility for their positions in this city. And that even comes down to the police department. Philadelphia police, don't just come around when the bodies is already on the ground, dropped on the ground. You know, some of these situations can be avoided if there were more police on the street, if there were, you know, sheriffs on the street. You know, it's not a priority when it's on this side of town, the ghetto, the hood. We're not a priority. You know, it's kind of like we're left to just kill each other. We're left for dead. And it's becoming real sickening because we are paying taxes for people like this to live good lives, to live better lives. Some of these people work in Philadelphia but don't live in Philadelphia. And the ones that live in Philadelphia are in protected areas. You know, they don't have these kind of worries that we have in the ghetto. You know, it's been a well-known fact that 1.4 something million dollars is missing from the city. Nobody's talking about that. And we're wondering why we don't have, you know, after-school activities, recreation centers, schools, books, computers, things that could have been purchased with that money. Where is that money? Does anybody know where that money is? I'm going to do some more investigating on that situation and exactly where those funds were and if they were ever found, because the public needs to know as well. We cannot keep allowing these people to railroad us in our own city. We need to start holding these people accountable. And as of today, I will continue to hold these people accountable. I will continue to reach out to them. I will continue to at them on Twitter. I will continue to have the public asking these questions, because these are the things that we need to know about our city. This kind of stuff should not be a secret to the public. And I really want to bring, you know, some advocates on the podcast this week that are working heavily in the city, you know, that has information on how you can, you know, have your own residency, businesses, and things like that. Shout out to Mr. Terry Sparks. He's an advocate in North Philly, and I'm actually meeting with him this week along with a few other advocates. But he has a program already that he's been running for years, and I just really want to be behind him and be as effective with the community as possible, because I know just like every ghetto and every, you know, city, state, everybody's suffering from the same things. And poverty is one of them. And y'all know that's my main thing, to overcome this whole mindset of poverty, you know. And we need to set things up in place for our youth, for single mothers, young moms, to be able to learn to have these tools so they can come out of this mindset and learn how to start their own, you know, businesses and earn their own extra money on the side. And, you know, instead of giving them the mindset they're working for somebody else, is how you're supposed to live life. That's not the way you're supposed to live life. Killing each other is not the way you're supposed to live life. Making your neighborhoods unsafe is not the way you're supposed to live life. It's a list of things that should not be going on in our neighborhoods and our communities that is. And I blame the people for not speaking up, for turning the other eye. I blame the shooters. I blame the victims, because sometimes they're always not victims. And shout out to, rest in peace to those that are, and shout out to ones that were and lived through it. You only get one life. I'm glad you're still here and making better choices, I hope. And, you know, just the overall people that's responsible. The mayor, the police district, the city councils, the state representatives, all these people that are in charge of making sure that the city is supposed to be safe have not taken those steps to do so. So everybody's responsible, if you're following me. Yeah, so that's about it for that. I just wanted to put that out there that I will be contacting and sitting down and, you know, calling for meetings and panels and, you know, events to go on where this gap between the city hall and this actual city comes, you know, that gap is filled, because that's where the issue is. The public does not trust the people that is supposed to make sure that we're okay living in this city. And that's because we have not been protected, nor do we have the tools to protect ourselves, nor do we have the tools to, I wouldn't even say don't have the tools, but the tools are not provided. It's like an Easter egg hunt. You gotta go and dig for them and find the eggs, you know, as you go. It's not really anybody there placing a basket in front of you saying, here's how you get from A to B. You know, it's not there because they don't want our kind to be successful, and they will do anything, even keep information from you that's right in front of you, so that way you won't, you know, surpass them, or, you know, or you bring yourself out of being in statistic status. You know, they make more money off of your ignorance. And I'm talking to my people. I need you guys to start realizing that all this stuff has been put in place for you to fail. And as Black people in America, and especially Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, y'all really need to start waking the fuck up. You know, because the killing each other thing, and, you know, and abusing the women, killing the women. There's been so many women that have been, you know, murdered in the city of Philadelphia this year. You know, moms, daughters, you know, it's really becoming a scary thing. And I still don't understand how the Black woman is still the most attacked person on this earth. It just bothers me. Because the crimes come from men that wouldn't be here without their mothers. You know, their sons wouldn't be here without their mothers. You know, so it has to be some type of level of respect coming from the Black men in our community. Some type, you know, protection, so the enemy won't feel comfortable enough to attack the Black woman. Your mom will always get called a bitch by the neighbor or the angry man on the corner. But until you check his ass, well, if you check him, I doubt if he ever disrespects your mother, sister, daughter like that again. See, that's the thing. Nobody's checking anybody anymore. Everybody's turning a blind eye, turning the cheek, and it doesn't need to happen. Because the sisters out here still fighting for the brothers that's out here killing each other on a day-to-day basis. You still have people out here fighting for you every day. Why are you living in your stupidity? You know, and I think I've had enough times or spoken on enough to how I felt about, you know, our actions as people in our communities and the things that we are doing and not doing and repeating the behaviors that we're repeating and expecting different reactions or expecting different results. It's not going to happen. You know, Albert Einstein said, you know, if you keep doing the same things and expecting different reactions, you're fucking insane. That's insanity. That's the definition of insanity. And it's showing right now that some of our people are really fucking insane. You know, and in the city, outside of what we're going through mentally, physically, emotionally, in our city, growing up in these poverty-stricken neighborhoods, we still have those people that are responsible for this, the housing, for the food, for the shelter, and all these things that are not happening. So everybody needs to take a stand. Everybody needs to take responsibility for the position that they play in this city, even if it's from the small to the large. Everybody is responsible. If you turn the other cheek, you're responsible. If you see somebody child get hit by a car, you don't report it. If you see somebody child get shot and murdered in the streets and you don't report it, everybody's responsible. I don't want to hear nothing about this no snitch rule anymore. One, because the no snitch rule been broken a long time ago. Niggas is ratting left and right. Y'all been broke the code. But now it's getting to the point where everybody's suffering and nobody's paying. So we're just going to keep playing the numbers game of killing each other. Who got more bodies? Who got more bodies before there is no more bodies left? That's what the fuck Philadelphia looks like right now. A complete bloodbath. And it's a lot of blood on the mayor's hands. It's a lot of blood on the city council's hands. It's a lot of blood on the Philadelphia police district's hands. It's a lot of blood on the governor's hands. It's a lot of blood on the state representative's hands. You know, let's break it down. It's a lot of blood on these people's hands. There has to be some type of solution. And until I feel as though we are getting the clarity that we need from this that's going on, I'm going to keep pointing fingers not only at myself, but those that I feel are responsible as well. Yeah, so again, thank you to all my listeners, all my supporters, you know, everybody that really enjoys Music Over Poverty, because Music Over Poverty really means a lot to me, and I really, you know, put my best foot forward to use my platform to advocate, to speak about things that, you know, people in my culture, my people are afraid to speak about, you know, that those that doesn't have voices in our community, those that are, you know, are just shut down because of the psychological trauma that has and still is taking place in our homes, in our communities. Yeah. So I thank you guys. And make sure y'all follow me on Instagram. And make sure y'all tune in on Wednesday. I got some, you know, special guests that's coming on the podcast this week. And we gonna get more into, you know, the updates of this week. I just wanted to get back on here and just start, you know, bringing it to the forefront of the movement that's getting ready to happen in the city of Philadelphia. And it's already a lot of things that's already moving, that's in position. So if you are in Philly, get ready, you know, for the movement that's getting ready to go on. And if you're not in Philly and you want to, you know, support us, or you want to speak about the things that's going on in your neighborhoods and the urban communities in your, you know, city, reach out to us, musicoverpoverty215@gmail.com. You can always set up an interview for the podcast. We can go live on Instagram, live on YouTube. There's many, many ways for others to communicate, no matter where we are, because we have the accessories as like the internet and those kind of things, you know. So we have no excuse to why we cannot have a dialogue, and, you know, from different perspectives all over the world. And I'm always looking forward to hearing from people. I'm always looking forward to working with people. So make sure, again, the email is musicoverpoverty215@gmail.com. This is your girl, Lady Lou. This is Music Over Poverty Podcast. Peace.